the website, I hope. If it isn't, then I'm sorry about that last part. Acts 27. I'm going to refer to Paul, an individual, as the church. This is a totally different message than I've ever preached out of this same chapter. I'm going to read a lot. I appreciate you if you just bear with me as I read the whole chapter. And I'm going to preach from that. God's allowed me to give me two little points while in the reading. But after that, I'm going to preach the church as an individual this morning. And I can preface that. I can explain that as we are the church. If you are born again, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your trust and faith in Him, you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that He is Lord, then you are the church. And in the church corporately, as we meet here on Sunday or we get together in a group, then that's one part of the church. That's the body of Christ. But each individual is the church. So I'm going to preach from that premise this morning. I gave you enough time to find Acts 27. If I haven't, then go to the table of contents and chase it down while I'm reading. I'm going to be there for, just bear with me. I know it's a lot of verses, a lot of chapters, or a lot of verses in this chapter. I think it's like 44 of them. So just bear with me. Read along if you want to. I'll read out loud. You read along. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of the Adramyttium, which launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, and Arcturus, Macedonia, and Thessalonica belonging with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh him. Verse 3, I'm going to speak right there just for a moment. When God gives you liberty to enjoy yourself amongst your friends, amongst your family, take that opportunity. you never know when that opportunity is not going to be there. Amen? Say the words you need to say. Express the emotions that you have. Let people know how you feel. Send the letter, make the call, send the text. I know I'm speaking in 2021 terms. Go by and see somebody. Amen. I loved what he, right here in the middle, Paul is about to go through one of the most extreme tests in his life. And right in the very beginning of it, he was given a little bit of liberty to go to his friends to be restored and refreshed. He took it. Sometimes when we get an opportunity, you need to take your time to be restored and refreshed. Amen. Preacher, that's good preaching. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind was suffering us, and we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And heartily passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter, in the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempestuous, the next day they lighted the ship. They lightened the ship. Then the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have to gain this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told unto me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that there drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color, though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not an hair off from the head of any of you, fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore in the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from the purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces, and the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us expound on this morning, that we might help somebody, one, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Part 2, to understand those that are saved, who we are in Christ Jesus, and what we're supposed to be about. We love you this morning, and we trust you. We trust you when we can't see the plan, and we can't see it fully developed. And even when we're in a place in the plan that doesn't seem good for us, we know that you work all things to the good, that for those that love you and are called to your purpose. We thank you this morning that we get to stand and preach your word. I know it's a life-changing word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I stand there, I want to get that last part. When a storm comes, this is that second thing I said I was going to preach at in there. Notice that the ship, when it had got drove into the creek or the water that was surrounded by land, they drove it in there, and the back part of the ship broke off. There for a while, I guarantee you this, everybody that was on that ship was praying for that ship to remain together. Amen? Y'all just, y'all just nod your head every once in a while, act like you're alive this morning, be all right. So guess what? They thought, well, here we are. We pray for the ship. Lord bless the ship. Lord bless the ship. Keep the ship strong. Keep the ship straight. Keep us out of the water, right? That's what they're praying the whole time. We're praying 2021, keep us together. Keep us safe. Keep us whole. Keep us well. Keep us, right? But the storm that came dissolved the ship that they had. And I got to think, and I know some of them were scared, and there was a reaction right off the bat as, let's kill them. But then God showed grace, and the thing that they had been praying for had changed into a different form. I'm preaching to you, just don't know it right now. Sometimes God brings storms into our lives for us to change the way we were going about life. Sometimes we're pleased and we're happy and we're content of what we're doing and we won't make any changes to anything, but when a storm comes, it makes you make changes. It makes you look at things a different way. It makes you lose some things that you really loved, but for some reason they're gone. And then the next part is it makes you involve yourself in making something new. Whew. When I'm preaching to the church, it's very hard to talk about because a lot of times in church, we like everything to stay the same way. The same way we always. Matter of fact, most people I talk to, the church used to be great. What happened? If it was so great, why didn't it stay great? Amen? God brings storms into our lives sometimes that we will make changes that we would have never made. We were content, but He wasn't. We wanted to stay the same, but He didn't want us to stay the same. Some of you, I wish I had just one or two people in here who have been through some storms in life, and when they happened, while they were happening, you were going, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to me. Right after they happened, you said, I don't know why God done this. But 5 years down the road, you went, oh my God. Look what God has done. I'm a better believer today. Some people got saved through my tragedy. God has restored life to me who could see no life through the storm. Ain't that amazing? I wish we had some more people in the church who've been through those things would reach down to somebody who's going through a storm, sit down by them and say, I know the storm is rough now, but God will make a way where you don't think there's a way. I never thought life would come back to me, but here I sit in a life that's more abundant than I could ever imagine. It's not the same, but it's still good. Amen? Whew. I preach better than y'all let on right there. I appreciate y'all letting me know. Amen? I appreciate it. I'm just going to preach the way God told me to preach. I tell you, I love this stuff. God rearranged. I had one little snippet of a message, and God just, He said, read the whole chapter, and I knew right then we was in trouble. And then He said, all right, now let me give it to you the way I see it. The church is a prisoner. Paul, the first thing we've seen on that is when Paul is introduced in this chapter, he's introduced as a prisoner. Could you imagine that? All of a sudden, all the prisoners, it said Paul and the prisoners. All the prisoners were walking in there shackled and had their prison outfits on, walking on board. And there's that one guy in the back. God, don't even look like he should be in prison. What are you in for? Murder? What are you in for? Rape? What are you in for? Grand Theft Auto? What are you in for? Preaching Jesus. Who's going to have the worst time in prison, you think? Amen? Right? But then I got to thinking how good God is. God said, yeah, we're prisoners, but we're different kind of prisoners. You boys are in bondage. I ain't. No. See, you're in bondage of sin. Sin got you in here. Sin won't get you out. Jesus got me in here, and Jesus will get me out. I used to be just as bound up as you are, but I'm not. And I could see one of the prisoners going, well, look at you now. But see, I'm a prisoner because God wants me here. Sometimes in life, you got to look around. I mean, some of y'all are going to know this and figure it out. Some of you already know it. Sometimes God puts people in your proximity that doesn't belong there just to be a witness to you in your darkest time. I'll guarantee you at the end of this trip, every prisoner on board was like, thank God, prisoner number 1, 2, 3, 4 was on board with us. I'm glad he was here. I'm glad they put him on our boat going to our prison, or we'd all be dead. Amen? Some of y'all in life, because I know how church is, you're here for a season, some of you. And you're going to get out in this world, and there's going to be some dark times come. God, look around. God is faithful to send some people around you that love Jesus, and you ain't even going to figure out why they're there. But then all of a sudden, the light will come on and go, they're here because Jesus loves me too. I'm kind of loving that right there because, see, I had a daddy who went to prison most of his Christian life. He spent most of his life in prison just telling people about Jesus. He's just a different kind of prisoner. He was going because God had sent him there. Amen? There's a lot of prisons in life, to be honest with you, though. And not all of them are, you get locked up for so many years and do. There's people prisoned in marriage. There's people prisoned in jobs. There's people prisoned in school. There's probably people imprisoned in fear. There's people prisoned in families. Hey, listen, you need to, hey, from now on, we need to start sharing the fact that, hey, God can break you loose. He can set you free. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be out of joy. You don't have to live in this. You can accept Christ and your life will change. Amen? Some of y'all need to approach this Thanksgiving and this Christmas with a little bit different attitude. Instead of going in with, let's talk about the sickness and talk about the death and talk about the pain, why don't you just go in there and say, hey, despite it all, I still got Jesus. Amen? Whew, I'm sorry about that. Maybe I should just move on out of that because y'all looked at me like I had two heads. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of you shared more about the vaccine and the conspiracy way more than you shared Jesus. You won't talk about that every time you get a chance, but when's the last time you said, hey, I don't know what's happening, but if you don't ever get Jesus in your heart and life, man, you're going to end up in this life. You're going to die something. I hope you get the vaccine. I hope somebody don't get it. I don't care what you do with it, but I hope every one of you know Jesus Christ before you die, because we're all going to die. We're all going to stand before him and give an account, and ain't nothing going to stop that. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You got an appointment date coming, and there ain't nothing in this world going to stop that. Some of y'all are sitting here going, well, I don't know. I'm going to try to live as long as I can. Well, praise God, me too. But one day, there will stand. I love this next part. The church is on a journey. I was reading, they're on a journey. They're going to Rome. And they're all like, this is how we're going to do it. And they went from port to port to seaport to seaport. And I read over there in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible calls us pilgrims. We can be on the same journey as everybody else in the world, but then yet we are on a separate journey. Amen? We're on a journey. I mean, Paul was going to Rome by boat. He had captains. He had ship workers. He had prison guards. He had prisoners. He had stuff on the ship, but he was going somewhere, but he was also going somewhere. Oh, y'all get it in a minute. Praise God. He was on a journey to heaven. He was a pilgrim passing through. I love what Hebrews said about being a pilgrim. He said they looked to a new land, a new place. And they could have kept their mind in the old place and returned to it. Whew. Some of y'all's got your mind wrong. You got saved, but your mind's in the wrong place. You still want to go back to the world. Amen? Abraham got saved and said, I'm looking for a new place to live. It's where God made. It's in heaven. Some of you got saved and said, I'd like to go back to doing what I like to do. Amen? What I like to do before I got saved. Amen? I'll return to the old way. The old way's what got you into trouble. The old way's what got you to repentance. The old way's what brought you to Jesus. I love, we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Man, some of us, I guarantee you, we've drove our tent stakes so deep here that we think the Lord, oh, save the earth, save the world, save this. Listen, the Lord is going to come back and He is going to destroy this world. He absolutely is. This is a temporary situation. He give us an eternal one. Paul said, it's funny how we're going to Rome. I always think about that every time I read the story. Every time when Paul gets saved, when the church got saved, they said, all right, Paul, I'm taking you to Rome. And I bet Paul's like, man, great. But then he gives him the itinerary. Who booked this trip? Amen? This is the hardest way to go. Have you ever felt that way? You got a Christian life? All right, we're going to heaven. Yeah, but the trip. but the trip, Lord. You're on a journey, though. Amen? You're a pilgrim. You're passing through. You don't belong to this place. Amen? I'm glad I don't belong here. Amen? I'm glad people are starting to say, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about people going into heaven and being in heaven. I was thinking about, you know, when I was a young man, when I first started preaching, I would say big things. I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't afraid of this. I ain't afraid of that. I ain't afraid of that. I'd say it. I'd preach bold. Oh, praise God. I don't care what comes against me. Then I got a little older. Amen? But as I've gotten older, I will say that as I've gotten older, I used to have not a whole lot of stake in heaven. I had Jesus. And some of y'all are going to be all spiritual, meet me at the church. Yeah, Jesus. I know. But I'd never been there. Amen? But as time's gotten on, I've got as much in heaven as I got on earth. And if I live any longer, I'm going to have a lot more in heaven than I do in earth. Listen, I don't know how to explain it. I hate this camera sometimes. Some of y'all wake up unless I come back here. Watch this. Hey, when we first took off with Jesus, He said, run your race, right? And I don't know if y'all ever get this. I was a kid. I was raised in different kind of school. All right. When I was in school, we started on one wall, and you held your hand on the wall, and they said, run to the other end of the gym and back. That was like the blood games of my day. Amen? You could literally die in a gym class. We would take off and you could run over everybody in that thing as long as you made it to the other end. Amen? Well, when I first took off for Jesus, I said, He is the finish line. Amen. And I took off, go, whoo, and I'm running. All I see, Jesus, I'm the finish line. But you know what? Now the finish line has a lot more people there than there was before. Now there's some people over there at the finish line that's going to be around Jesus that you're sitting there going, man, it makes the race even more important. It makes it even more worth running harder now. Some of y'all are saying, well, I don't want to run as hard. Praise God, I want to run harder. Because I can see some people over there that I miss and I love dearly. And when we see them again, they are not going to be the people that you've seen last. Oh, never. Some of y'all think, we get to heaven, my old daddy's going to be there, my old mama's going to be there, that old sickness, When you get there, it's going to be new glorified healthy body, new glorified healthy mind. When you're going to be standing there a few minutes because you're going to try to relate in your mind who they are. But it's just like when they met Jesus after the day of resurrection. When they met Jesus on the road to Damascus, they were trying to talk to Him about Him being crucified. They didn't recognize Him because they had a mindset of beaten, bruised, and unrecognizable Jesus. And when He was recognizable, they couldn't get it in their mind. God, Lord. Somebody, I'm going to preach myself happy in a minute. I don't know if y'all ever get happy anymore. I mean, as Christians, we act like we've been defeated, beat down, and broken anymore. We're like, oh, how are we going to make? Praise God. I've got a promise so deep in my heart that's so true and so real that there ain't nothing to keep me down. Amen? There ain't nothing that can't keep me from running for Jesus. I might pout a little bit. I might get upset a little bit. I might get mad at God. But guess what? I'm going to dry them old tears, and I'm going to get to running again. Amen? Some of us need to give up on that. Some of y'all sit down and you're just going to pout it out. The church is never called to pout. It ain't. It ain't ever. There's never a place in the scripture where it says get mad and quit. It's the only place in life. I'll just go ahead and make everybody mad. It's the only place in the whole world anymore that you can quit and there's no repercussions. Some of y'all, they hurt my feelings down there at the church. They didn't do what I wanted at church. You worked somewhere for 50 years of your life, and they didn't do anything your way, and you kept going down there and clocking in because they gave you a check at the end of the week. Amen? God gave you eternal life. Some of y'all need to learn to stick some stuff out with some people and love them despite of who they are. Give them some mercy and some grace and some forgiveness and some love. And guess what? You'll find out 20 years you got a good relationship because you gave it to them. And when you need it, they'll give it to you. Woo! We get offended and get hurt and run down to the next church and to the next church and to the next church. And matter of fact, we run out of churches because we go down there and go, we're expecting a bunch of perfect people. Scariest people ever walk in our church are people that are ready-made. Oh, just add water. I'd rather have about 20 of them come in here and everybody go, oh, God, clutch your purse and your wallet at the same time and go, God. We got somebody come in here in a three-piece suit, can preach the scripture back and forth. Wife can sing, kids can do harmony and tenor. Praise God, they're hell on wheels. They've ruined every church and every place they've been to. We'll be like, man, we're glad we got old brother so-and-so here. Yeah, just ask the last three pastors that run up against him. I don't know why I'm preaching the way I am today. I meant to be caring and loving and giving it to you the way you thought I seen it. But the church, man, we're in the end times. We are at the very end of this thing, either for our country or the world, and we're sitting around playing patty cake together like it ain't going to happen. We're sitting around surprised. Can you believe this is happening? We've had the book in front of us for hundreds of years, and we ain't paying attention. The church has a message. It's to preach the gospel. That's it. To preach the gospel. That's all. You know what? If you're a believer here this morning, saved and sanctified, you told somebody you got saved. You have. You make big declarations, big professions. I'm saved. I'm going to live for God. Hadn't shared the gospel with one lost person. Amen? That's contrary. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. If you ever get saved, if you ever get saved in this life, I'm talking about if somebody ever runs in your house and rescues you and brings you out and puts you on solid ground, you didn't burn up, you didn't drown, you didn't do whatever, and you get out there, first thing you're going to do is you're going to look at the person that brought you out of that place, you go, thank you. But if there's somebody still in the house, you'll say, we need to get in there and get them. If your family, your friends was in that house, you would say, the house is still burning. We got to get back in there and save them. We get saved and we act like, praise God, we're saved and sanctified. We're just going to sit back and ride this thing out, the lazy river of Christianity. We get a big fat tube and lay back on it and just think God's going to roll us around this pool for 14 years, 15 years, and we're just going to say we're saved as we can be. And be upset when the pool stops moving. God, preach everything I know this morning. The motor jams up over there. Some kid gets sideways. And that's another 10 messages right there. You get somebody in front of you and somebody behind you that's annoying. Some of y'all ever been to a lazy river? Kids beating on your tube and getting on your nerves. I'm just going to get up and get over there in the other pool. Can't even have a good time at the lazy river. That's church. Praise God. Enjoy the ones that get on your nerves. Enjoy the kids. Enjoy the mess.
And some of us right here, we're messed up. We're, oh, they tearing this up. They tearing that up. They ain't doing this right. They ain't doing that right. We got a church that has people in it. How about them apples? People make a mess. If we just get us about 10 people to come here and not make a mess, just hang out, we'd be all right. We could save money, save our stuff, and nobody ever have to worry about it. Pray, I want as many people come in here as can be. I hope they mess the whole thing up. We have to rebuild it again. Whew, somebody's making a note right now. Get a new pastor. Praise God. The church has a message. We need to share the gospel. We need to be sharing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Some of y'all are passionate about everything but that. Passionate about music. Passionate about movies. Passionate about racing. Passionate about fishing. Passionate about hunting. Passionate about farming. Let me say, passionate about preaching. Let's get passionate about saving souls. If you put that in the mix, if you put that in the mix of what you're passionate about, you'll start to see some people you do those things with get saved. Whew. Better move on. I think I've made everybody mad. Anybody not offended? Raise your hand. I got two more points. The church has protection. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You can be as in much trouble as you want to get into. Every storm, everything can break loose in your life. People can be in danger. We could be in trouble. But guess what? If you're born again, God looks down through eternity. He looks down through the heavens, and He sees a seal on you. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He ain't never lost you. He never took His eyes off of you. He's never mistaken where you're at. And praise God, if you're in danger, God had you there. And if you're doing well, God had you there. Amen? Glorify God right there. Amen? I'm glad I'm sealed. Every once in a while, I got to remind myself, man, I'll run out of here if y'all don't watch it. Sometimes I got to remind myself, well, you think, well, God, how did we get here? Amen? How did we get here, God? God said, I brought you here because I love you, but I've got a bigger plan. You're sealed. Is anybody in here saved? Are you saved? I mean saved by the Spirit of God. It's got the Spirit of God in you. Guess what? When this thing's all said and done, that seal that's in your forehead, that seal that's in you by the Holy Spirit is going to get called home. Amen? And the minute you strike, the minute your foot sets foot in glory, you're going to be like this. Praise God! I'm serious. We've made heaven somewhere. Oh, I don't want to go. Man, when you get there, you'll be sitting there going, tell them all to come on. Tell them all to come on. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to. They used to sing a song. It's called Beulah Land. Amen. I'm kind of homesick for a place I've never been. I lived in Ocoee, Tennessee my whole life. All the way up to my 20s. I mean, I lived in Ocoee. I could take you to the, I can still go around there. They tore the old house down, but I can take you to the spot. We'd go to Florida. We'd go to Gatlinburg. We'd go to places. And I remember we'd bring us home late at night. I know, just stay with me. They'd bring us home late at night. You know what I'm saying? When you got out and kids, you're driving. When you're a kid, you sit back there in the back seat. And, you know, you're about passing. And you're like, well, I'm going to get home. Maybe you kill your daddy back then. Dad, when are we going to be home? Dad, when are we going to be home? We home yet, daddy? We home yet? You're like, if you don't shut up and pull over and kill all of you. That's my daddy. I don't know who your daddy was, but that's my daddy. If y'all don't shut up, I'm going to kill both of you. He didn't threaten a whooping as a death. So after once, while you just kind of like, you know, sit back there and like trying to look for something. But I could tell you the way the car felt when we turned off 64 Highway on the Cherokee Circle. I could tell you the big hill that went down. I could tell you the other hill rose up, and I could tell you when he turned that curve. I said, oh, God, there's my home. There's my bed. There's my bedroom. Amen? I could still see it as a kid. I could still see it. The little brick bottom house with a red top. When we turned in that driveway, oh, daddy, I'm going to run. I don't know who unpacked the car, but I did. I went straight to my bedroom, jumped in that bed. Oh, love to be home. My spirit is sealed into the day of redemption. And it's sick for a place that I've never seen, but it's seen it before. And it wants to go home as bad as I wanted to go home when I was a kid. It's ready to go home. Because, see, it's one part of the Godhead, and it likes to be where God is. Amen? Every once in a while, you're going to get this yearning. You ain't going to be able to explain it. You're going to say, well, man, this world is growing dim. It is growing strange. It's because you ain't meant for this place. I love this part right here. In Luke 19, 13, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, stay here and occupy. This is the title of the message. The church is on board. Thank God. We're still here for a purpose. Listen, if you're a saved person here this morning, you're still on board for a purpose. I don't care how bad it's gotten. I don't care who's in charge. I don't care who don't seem like they're in charge. I don't care where the country seems like it's going, where the planet seems like it's going, where it seems like anything. What it is, you're on board. When Paul stepped on board of that last ship, he told them. He said, this is a bad idea. Amen? I can tell you, I'm standing right on the bow of 2021 going into 2022, and I can tell you, this is a bad idea of where we're headed. But I'm on board. The church is on board. So if the church is on board, there's only a few things you can do if you're on board. Seek the Lord, tell Him what He said, and look for the end. Seek the Lord. See, Paul was standing around and the ship was falling apart and people were talking about jumping off and getting out and everything like that. Paul said, I need to get somewhere and talk to Jesus. He went somewhere and prayed, and all of a sudden an angel showed up and said, be of good cheer. If everybody stays on board with the church, they'll survive. Amen. Paul went up on board, had a different message than everybody else on board. Everybody else, we're wrecking, we're dying, we're going under, this is bad. Paul stood up and said, be of good cheer, guys. Ain't that a strange message? Look, we'd say it like this, hey guys, time to get happy. Happy? We're dying. Nope. I got along with the Lord and He showed up and He said, anybody that stays on board, you're going with me, we're going to make it. Ain't that cool? That's what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to have a message of hope in dire times. We're sitting on the boat. We're supposed to have a good message. We're seeking the Lord. What do we do next? We be obedient. Amen? I love when the boat started falling apart. He goes, the ones that can swim, swim. I love that part of the message. You see some of them doing jackknives off the boat. If y'all don't know what a jackknife is, somebody else explain it to you. Can openers, cannonballs, somebody just diving, you know. They down there swim. That's good. There's some Christians in here. Y'all big swimmers, man. Y'all good. I mean, y'all like I can't remember the name. Gold medal swimmer. Somebody knows it. I don't. Huh? Michael Phelps. Thank you. Thank you. Who adds to that message? All right. Ricky. All right. Michael Phelps of Christianity. We're just swimming like a motorboat. Right up to the shoreline. Some of you, that's awesome. I love you. But then they some, man. I can't swim. There's no hope for me. He said, grab a piece of the boat and jump in. The thing that was carrying us, you're going to be carrying it. Okay. They jump in. They're just kicking their little feet. Golly, come on. Anybody know anybody that can't swim? I mean, they got claws. They're holding onto that board like it's the last board in the world. Right? And they're just kicking their little feet right toward shore. Guess what? They're going to wash up too. Amen? How many of you might not be a superhero in the faith, but praise God, you holding on to Jesus and you're going to kick her right in there. Amen? You're going to roll up on the shoreline just with all them super swimmers too. Amen? you might have got here ahead of me, but I got here too. Amen? I can't wait for that. Amen? And then some people, listen, as I look this right here, I hope this is some of y'all in here. Hey, some people that you didn't think was going to make it, we'd have called them crazy or weird. The captain who made all the wrong decisions, the crew who make all the wrong decisions, the guards who you thought they were never going to get saved, they come peddling in too because they stayed on board. Amen? Some of you ain't saved right now. You don't know Jesus and you're rebelling and you're kicking against Him. And maybe life will be merciful and graceful to you through Jesus Christ. And one day you could say, you know what? I need what that guy was talking about. I need what my parents were telling me about. I need what that church was telling me about. I want to tell you this morning, church, I don't know why things are happening the way they're happening. But I do know one thing. We're still on board. And if we're on board, we might as well do what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. Looking for Jesus, sharing the message, and being obedient to do what he calls us to do. Let's all stand as Sarah comes and gets us home. If God spoke to your heart, come do business with him this morning. There might be some of you here this morning, you're not saved, you need to be saved. Maybe some of you sitting here this morning, you're saved as you can be. You're just not doing what God's called you to do. You're a Christian, but you're not serving God to the full capacity of the way you want to serve him and the way he wants you.